we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Egypt is dominating the medal table after almost 1 week of action at the African Games in Ghana. Heading into Wednesday's events, Team Egypt had tallied 94 medals, including 53 gold. Team Nigeria was in second place with 48 medals, including 22 gold. Host Ghana was in 13th place with 5 medals, including 1 gold. Joining us now with some insights into Team Ghana's performances in volleyball and swimming is Yawafusu Larbi in Accra. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Ghana has qualified to the quarterfinal stage of the men's beach volleyball competition after a 2-1 win over Algeria. Ghana's impressive pairing of Paul Akan and Seydou Ajinaku rallied back from a difficult second set to take the decisive third set. Tuesday's win is Ghana's fourth consecutive win after an excellent group stage campaign. According to Paul Akan, it puts them in pole position to win a medal for Ghana.
Yes, our team Ghana is just going to a medal zone, so I want every Ghanaian to expect that. Okay, since All African Games has been introduced, I think it's only beach volleyball that has had a bronze medal, only one. So this time we are hoping that it's in Ghana, and then we need to pick a medal here.
Ghana qualified from Pool F of the men's beach volleyball with a perfect score of 3 wins, a 2-1 win over Togo, a 2-0 win over Senegal, and a 2-0 win over Benin. The team coach, Chapnor Eden, says it has taken resilience and a strong will from its athletes to get to this point. He is, however, hopeful that they can make the nation proud.
Our major goal is to win the gold for Ghana. And we've worked tirelessly up for that. And I'm very sure my players, as you can see, you watch the match, so you see how they were fighting. They fought very well, and they made their mind to fight till the final. So that is what we are hoping for the gold medal for Ghana.
Elsewhere, Kenya's women beat Seychelles in the women's indoor volleyball, played some 30 kilometers away from the beach where Ghana prevailed. The Kenyans took the game to their counterparts and made sure that they provided a good performance to win the game. At the end of the game, Captain Mercy Moem said it was a tough one.
We know Seychelles are a good team, especially on the backcourt, because of 90% of their players, they play beach volleyball. So we know them. They are good players, so we had to use a lot of force, like our strong attacks and our tactical services, to display their game, to make sure that we won 3-0.
In swimming, Ghana's Abeku Jackson topped up his silver medal win with a bronze medal in the 100-meter men's butterfly final.
I mean, this is day 3 or 4. I have swum almost 9 to 10 events. Heats finals, even 100 flat to swim 3 times. I would say at least I'm giving my best, making sure Ghana is on the podium. It's my second medal. Looking forward to the relay finals tonight. Looking forward to my next event tomorrow. I'm happy to win my second medal, and I hope every athlete in Ghana is watching and make us proud. I just want the best for every athlete in Ghana.
For Ghana, 2 medals in swimming is a huge deal, and it takes the country's medal counts at these games to 5. Before these games, Ghana had never won any in swimming, and this is impressive in many ways. In the women's 50-meter breaststroke race, Ghana's Nubia Ejay missed out on the final, but was delighted with their performance nonetheless.
Yeah, it was quite good. I was happy with my result. I mean, I would have loved to get into finals, but I feel like I did put in my absolute best, and I am happy with the end result, and I definitely did better than I obviously originally thought, so I'm happy, yeah.
The African Games has gotten into the tough stages, and all athletes are working tirelessly to bring glory to their countries. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yawafusu Larbi from the Botiman Sporting Center here in Accra.
Thanks, Yao. Still with the African Games, Team Nigeria's medal-winning athletes, who bring glory to Africa's most populous country, will receive bonuses. In an interview with Iron Mike Imbonye, Nigeria's Minister of Sports Development, John Owan Ino, gave some details, but he wasn't specific in terms of how much money the athletes will get.
It's about for the different levels of winnings, you know, for bronze, you know, for silver, you know, for gold, you know, the reward, the incentive is, you know, is greater, right? It's graduated, you know, basically. And I think that our president's response and reception when the Super Eagles came back from AFCON, even without winning the cup, you know, the kind of reward and the kind of incentives, you know, should itself tell us, you know, about, you know, the new guy in town, about, you know, his interest in sports, about how much he thinks, you know, if the outcome of the way we do in our sports is going to depend on what motivation that he provides, he's ready and willing to provide that leadership. You know, so, like I said, the answer is yes, and that, you know, for Rimba Dal one, you know, there's a price attached to it.
What is the level of preparations by members of Team Nigeria for the African Games?
Well, I mean, when you talk about preparations, I'm talking about the federations. You know, we don't forget that each of the sporting federations has a responsibility towards, you know, the sportsmen and women that are part of that sport. And therefore, the responsibility has to do with overseeing the performance of the athletes in the different federations. Is it weightlifting? Is it handball? Is it tennis? Is it table tennis? I mean, it's the ministry gets involved a little bit more directly in terms of the last camping that it organizes before, you know, the actual tournament or competition. I mean, it's the federations are expected to prepare the athletes and get them exposed to the different levels of training, you know, out of competition training and all of that. And therefore, you know, beyond the camping, it's supposed to be some kind of joint responsibility. And that in the course of the last couple of months and years, you know, the ministry has been monitoring the different programs by each of the federations. And what I can say is that the totality of all this makes us strong, you know, to expect that we may not have had, you know, 100% in terms of the kind of preparations that we're supposed to have had, you know, leading up to these games. 100% preparations is continued to remain the ideal, you know, not just now but going forward. But I can, you know, I can say to you that what, you know, we've exposed the athletes to, what level of training and preparation is enough for us to be optimistic that our expectation at the end of the games should be able to met.
That's John Owan Ino, Nigeria's Minister of Sports Development, and he spoke with Iron Mike Imbonye in Accra, Ghana. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The sun is setting on the sunny side of sports. I'm retiring from The Voice of America. My last show is March 27th. I'll be leaving our Voice of America headquarters after nearly 36 years here and with lots of good memories. Stay tuned because I'll have some special guests for my final few shows. The Voice of America is once again a proud broadcasting partner of the Men's Basketball Africa League, or BAL, which tipped off its fourth season on March 9th in Pretoria, South Africa. The BAL announced Tuesday that the Burundian club Dynamo forfeited its participation in the league. For political reasons, Burundian officials refused to allow the Dynamo players to wear a Visit Rwanda logo on their uniforms. All teams in the BAL are required to wear the logo. In action Tuesday at the Sunbet Arena in Pretoria, BAL debutant FUS Rabat of Morocco won its third consecutive game without a loss. Rabat routed the home team, Cape Town Tigers of South Africa, 84-58. Rabat's Malian center, Aliou Jara, was the player of the game. In only 17 minutes on the court, Jara tallied a team-high 21 points, had 6 rebounds, and blocked 3 shots. Now, a teenage player on the Tigers, 18-year-old Storm Gilchrist, guarded Jara during some points of the game, and speaking after the game, Gilchrist said, and I quote, about Jara, he is very athletic. He gets a lot of rebounds and blocks. He is a serious freak athlete. If he gets even better, he will be in the NBA eventually. And speaking of the NBA and the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, are partnering to support the Basketball Africa League. In NBA action Tuesday night, the Indiana Pacers and the league-leading Boston Celtics both scored big road victories. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
Jason Tatum and Derek White carried the shorthanded Celtics to a 123-107 victory at Utah. Tatum had a game-high 38 points for Boston, which was without Jaylen Brown, Kristaps Porzingis, and Al Horford because of injuries. White provided 24 points for the Celts, who hit 23-pointers and outscored the Jazz 22-8 on second-chance points.
It's a 3 to start. It looks good, but I just think we were just getting good looks to start the game and sharing the ball and they're a good team. They compete at a high level, so you want to go off to a good start.
Utah got within 2 in the third quarter before Boston scored 20 straight to go up 113-91 with 6.5 minutes left. Keontae George had a team-high 26 points in Utah's 11th loss in 13 games. Miles Turner, Tyrese Halliburton, and Pascal Siakam led the Pacers' 121-111 win at Oklahoma City. Turner scored 24 points and helped Indiana shoot 54% from the field. Halliburton chipped in 18 points and 9 assists as the Pacers dropped the Thunder into a first-place tie with the Nuggets in the Western Conference.
I thought I was doing a good job keeping the ball in front of us. Shea's obviously, one of the best scorers in the league, so he's going to do what he does. I thought Miles did a great job protecting the rim, and I thought we did it. A great job overall just finishing possessions with rebounds, not fouling.
Siakam added 18 points and 11 rebounds for the Pacers, who led by 12 at halftime. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander led all scorers with 30 points and had 10 boards for the Thunder, who had won 3 in a row. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. The 5 other winners on Tuesday night in the NBA were New York, Memphis, Houston, Sacramento, and Minnesota. Minnesota Timberwolves star Anthony Edwards, nicknamed Ant-Man, turned in another electrifying performance. The Ant-Man scored 37 points and led a big comeback as the T-Wolves topped the host Los Angeles Clippers 118-100. Taking a look at the NBA standings, the T-Wolves are just one half game behind the Oklahoma City Thunder and defending NBA champion Denver Nuggets. The Thunder and the Nuggets are tied for first place in the Western Conference with records of 45 wins and 20 losses. The Celtics lead the Eastern Conference with 51 victories and 14 defeats.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Sporty greetings, this is Victor Osimhen, Super Eagles of Nigeria and Napoli FC forward. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
can follow The Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter, handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to The Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com. Joining me once again on The Sunny Side of Sports is my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabarrow. Sporty greetings, Mukbil.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. What's going on?
Looks like you got the old school Arsenal look going on.
They call this was the era, the Invincibles.
The Invincibles.
Of Arsenal, you know, undefeated season, no losses. So I'm trying to bring that energy back for this team. We're trying to get some wins for the team, Sonny.
Well, you got to say David Raya had some energy going in that shootout on Tuesday, Mukbil. Talk about Raya's performance and what it meant to the Gunners.
Man, honestly, Sonny, you know, because we have, you know, we've had this difficulty in that goalkeeper position. We had Aaron Ramsdale, who is currently now with the club, but he is the second goalie at the moment. Goalie number one is David Raya. So for him to come in, you know, and have the season that Ramsdale had last season, almost winning the EPL, It required something different, but manager Mikel Arteta really loves how David Raya plays from the back. He's almost like an additional defender that you have. So when Arsenal plays that high press, you can see Raya come almost all the way until half sometimes to defend against some potential players that are just at that halfway line. He played an exceptional game yesterday, but, you know, kudos to Porto as well. Did not make the game very easy for Arsenal. We've seen Arsenal since their quote-unquote Dubai trip, which was a trip that they had right before the new year. It was a bonding trip for the team, and they came back from it firing on all cylinders, almost all clean sheets at home. This was still a clean sheet for them in the game, but they weren't able to get that second goal to stop them from going into extra time and then eventually penalty kicks.
From a historical perspective, Mukbil, what does it mean for Arsenal advancing to the final eight in the UEFA Champions
League? Huge, Sonny. You know, having been, you know, a fan for years, and then just seeing the richness of this club, but it's kind of seeing this drought in Champions League football for them. It's been about 14 years. 2010 was the last time that they advanced to this level in the competition. And this is a team that, you know, has that fan base that has been around for a really long time, a legendary club in the English Premier League. So to see them coming back in form is great, not only for fans, but it's great for the league as well.
Do you see the Gunners carrying this winning form back into the Premier League?
I would say so. You know, sometimes when you see a game like this or a league like the Champions League, what ends up happening is players that are mostly naturally calm, collected, such as a William Saliba, who's arguably one of the best center backs in the world right now. You could see that he had some jitters yesterday, you know, but also kudos to the ref yesterday who was letting them play through it. He wasn't allowing for smaller tic-tac fouls. I think he only gave out maybe two yellow cards, but it was a very physical game. Sometimes, you know, those games give the advantage to the defensive players because they're able to kind of get physical and kind of, you know, muscle their way into the offensive players. But yeah, all in all, I think this Arsenal team is going to use this momentum into the English Premier League. The clash will be happening with Man City March 31st. That will be a very, very decisive game for both teams.
Mukbil, in the other UEFA Champions League game on Tuesday, Victor Osimhen and Napoli fall to Barcelona 1-3. Your thoughts on that match?
Yeah, unfortunately for Napoli, they really weren't able to kind of stop the flow of Barcelona yesterday. Barca was playing at home. I believe they're playing in Estadi Olympic at the moment. Camp Nou is under renovation, but they're still playing in Barcelona with their Barcelona fans. Lopez puts up the first goal in the 15th minute, followed by Cancelo in the 17th minute. And after that, really, it was 2-0 for a while. Then Rahmani was able to score one goal for Napoli to make it 2-1. But Lewandowski, you know, the OG, is able to kind of solidify it and let them know, look, we no longer have to, you know, be on edge. 83rd minute, 3-1, Barcelona wins. So Barca is starting to also click right at the right time in the season. Do I think they have enough depth with this current team to make a really strong push? It's difficult to say, but I think they were a little bit too much for Napoli, though.
The last two places in the quarterfinals will be at stake Wednesday evening, Mukbil, in Madrid, Spain. Atletico Madrid at home against Inter Milan, and Borussia Dortmund is at home in Germany against PSV Eindhoven. Let's begin in Spain. How do you see that Atletico-Inter match?
Yes, it's tough because both teams, you know, have really different things that they have going for themselves at the moment. Inter is a very defensive-oriented team, whereas Atletico Madrid kind of flows a little bit more offensively. But at the moment, Inter has a 1-0 lead on aggregate. It's possible they just come in there and park the bus, Sonny. Mm. You know, because the 0-0 draw pushes them through to the next level. So it's going to be on Atletico Madrid to push and find a way to score to at least get it level to then, you know, similarly, like the same setup that Arsenal had to try to take it. Then if you can score a second goal, you can win in regular time, if not extra time and then potential PKs. So I'm looking to see Atletico Madrid come out really, you know, pushing the envelope to try and get an early goal. But that kind of leaves you in open spaces for a potential counterattack. And Inter has that quality that they can, you know, make you pay for it as well. So Atletico Madrid definitely has a challenging game up ahead.
In Germany, Mukbil, Borussia Dortmund at home against PSV Eindhoven. That tie is all locked up right now at 1-1. How do you see that one?
Yeah, 1-1 is always good for the home team. It kind of gives you the comfort in knowing, worst case scenario, if we don't concede a goal, this thing can go into extra time and then potentially PKs within, you know, having your fans around you. But the fan base should reinvigorate, I should say, Dortmund enough that they should be able to try to get a goal, because sometimes what happens is if you keep pushing it, if you tell PSV, hey, you're going to go straight into PKs with this team at their home stadium, I think they would take it. So as the game starts off in the first half, and then even as the midway point of that second half is moving along, I still think Dortmund has the potential to try and score that goal to finish it in regulation. But as it starts edging its way to extra time, the pressure starts switching sides, I think.
Mukbil, the draw for the UEFA Champions League quarterfinals will be held on Friday. And let's look at the teams that are through to the quarterfinals. We have Arsenal, Barcelona, Paris Saint-Germain, Bayern Munich, and Manchester City. Among those teams I just mentioned, Mukbil, any of their matches really stand out for you?
I would say Man City. Man City, you know, had a relatively easier pathway making it through, simply because, you know, when you're a winner, you know, things kind of go your way a little bit. I believe if they played up. They played against Copenhagen. They were able to beat Copenhagen 3-1. And prior to that, I think, yeah, I think they might have had 3-1 victories against Copenhagen twice.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I think to me that was the most decisive game. When it comes to anyone kind of coming out from the group's stages from this last round. I could also say that PSG played relatively well against Real Sociedad, 2-0 initially and then 2-1 in their second leg. You know, Real Madrid 1-1 against Leipzig in their second round, but I believe they were up 1-0 in their first one. So not great performances by Real, but I would say Man City. I think Man City seems to me like they are the strongest team coming out from the group stages.
Mukbil, let's get back to that old school Arsenal jersey you're wearing. Premier League, really popular in Africa. I know depending on regions of Africa, they support various clubs. In terms of the merchandise, Mukbil, what do you think most Africans, or what is the most popular jersey that Africans are wearing in terms of the Premier League?
Ooh, at the moment,
I gotta believe Liverpool is getting some wear.
Liverpool's getting some traction. Arsenal's getting some traction. United is getting some traction. Man City now is probably getting some traction last decade or so, I would say. Probably those four teams would have to be the top four. Chelsea probably is getting some traction as well. I would put those five teams in there. But then sometimes you never know how certain, you know, folks or certain regions just become fans of a specific player maybe. And then you'll just have this neighborhood that just loves Aston Villa in the middle of nowhere, and you're just wondering how did this happen, you know? But you know, shout out to all the EPL fans all around the world, man. In particular, in Africa where we broadcast heavily, I know that they really love their EPL. So you know, shout out to my Gunners.
Let's give a shout out also, Mukbil, for the Ant Man. I know we've talked about him a lot in recent weeks, but Anthony Edwards, probably the next real superstar in the NBA for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
My question to you, Sonny, is why is he not in the MVP conversation?
That's a great question because, you know, I remember you saying outside the studio that Ant-Man plays both ways.
He does. He
plays hard on offense. He plays hard on defense. And, yeah, I mean, he's a total player.
Bro, he takes the toughest assignments on defense, and then he goes on offense and scores. A few nights ago, they played the Clippers. The last possession, nobody wants to be on an island with Paul George one-on-one. He straps him, steals the ball.
Wow.
Goes the other way. Like, that's insane. This kid really has that killer instinct that I wouldn't even call it Mamba mentality, because his mentality looks more like Jordan, really. It's yes. Like he kind of skipped the grade and he's like, I'm with right where Jordan is at.
Fearless, very fearless.
And you know, when you are that type of player, sometimes you end up getting caught, you end up getting put on a poster, you can get your ankles broken, but he doesn't care. And I love that about him, because a lot of stars nowadays are always so worried about their image that they're not willing to take that defensive assignment like he has been.
All right, let's quick MVP vote here in Studio 22. Jason Tatum.
I think Jason
Anthony
Tatum.
Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
I like those three.
Okay.
I like those three. Three young guys. Give it to the youth, man.
Give it to the young guys.
Absolutely.
Yes. Give it to the young guys. Thanks to Mukbil Yabaro for his VOA Sports reporting and production this evening. Thanks also to VOA engineer Audrius Regis. And thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.